Welcome to Public Health Matters with Dr. Christina M. Madison, the founder and CEO of the Public Health Pharmacist, PLLC, a public health consulting firm. She is passionate about spreading knowledge on public health in order to create healthier and happier communities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Public Health Matters, part of the Pharmacy Focus podcast series from Pharmacy Times. I am your host, Dr. Christina Madison, also known as the Public Health Pharmacist. I'm excited to bring you another extraordinary guest today, Dr. Jackie Boyle, and I have nothing but amazing things for this pioneer and trailblazer within pharmacy, but then also just around gender parity and equality and just all things happiness when it comes to having a meaningful career within pharmacy. She has one of the coolest titles I've ever seen, which is Assistant Dean for Student Success. I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, what a fantastic job. So with that being said, we connected via LinkedIn probably about a year and a half-ish ago, had a great opportunity to speak to her students. And she was, kind enough to return the favor and, was happy to accept my invitation to be on my podcast and really to talk about the work that she's been doing. And again, so excited to welcome Jackie. Did you want to say a little something about yourself before we dive into some questions today?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Well, Dr. Madison, thank you for having me here. It was such serendipity that we met on LinkedIn. And speaking of trailblazers, you are certainly one in the public health space. It's so fun to watch what you're doing and inspiring other pharmacists and the next generation to really think about how all pharmacists can impact public health or how to make a career in that field. So thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here. Outside of work, I have two little girls. So my six-year-old Gianna, my six-month-old Julia, and of course, my biggest supporter, my husband. Those are the main priorities for me in life. And then pharmacy is a great fun thing to do as a way to get paid. So super fun in all areas. And again, thank you so much for having me today.
I love that you're, because you do so much within pharmacy, it's so interesting to me that your first thing that you acknowledged and affirmed was your family, because I am also the mother of two small children. I have a 4 and a 6-year-old. I'm not in the thick of it like you are with a 6-month-old. But I remember us scheduling my time with your students, and it was like, I would never in a million years have known that you were pregnant until like literally right before you were like, I'm not going to be available for a little while. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And you're like, yes, I'm going to have a baby. And I was like, what? Like you just were so like, I mean, the ability to like produce and work. And for me, I had such bad pregnancy brain, like both pregnancies, like, honestly, I was just telling people, please forgive me for the next like 2 years, because I have no idea whether or not I'm going to come back from this. Right.
Oh, well, definitely pregnancy brain was a real thing. I have such a great team around me at my institution that I knew everything would be in great hands while I was out. So just trying to work ahead a little bit, and was so gracious to have you come speak with our students.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. So I know you've been working on some amazing projects, but before we kind of dive into that, I really want to talk a little bit about your journey and how you got to the position that you're at, because I have never heard of that position before. And I was like, first of all, I would like to have that at my school. But really just wanting to talk about like your journey, especially as we see maybe not as many women in leadership roles within academic pharmacy, and sort of your personal passion for speaking out about that and wanting to see more parity within the profession. So just wanting to see a little bit about your journey, and then we'll talk about some of the amazing projects you have going on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for letting me share. And My journey, I tell my students this all the time, is not one that I could have ever predicted. I think many of us in pharmacy can say the same, that it's hard to predict that future, even though we all want that checklist of like, okay, what's the end goal? How do I get there? But thus far, that has definitely not been the case. I can say that there were some common themes that kept coming up for me in my career that eventually led to this position and kind of all things coming together. So prior to my full-time role in academia now, in administration and in a faculty position, is I was in several different areas of practice in ambulatory care. And so that ranged from employer-based health to accountable care organizations to primary care, specialty clinics. And I absolutely loved it. The relationship building that you're able to have with patients in those roles is just tremendously fulfilling. And through that time, I was also with the College of Pharmacy teaching at least one day a week and precepting at my site. And I always found myself just gravitating towards developing those students, helping them think about their career goals, really investing time and energy into their success. So much so that I definitely had a few managers say, you know, you don't need to spend so much time teaching your students. And I'm like, but I have to, you know, that's what I love doing. And even if it was extra hours, I would keep investing myself into them. And the reason I think that is really exciting is that being a non-traditional student, I guess a first generation student, I know I found myself kind of navigating the waters in a very ineffective way and seeking out advisors and faculty who helped me get to the places that I never knew I could. And so for me, I wanted to be that person for future generations of pharmacists. I also love the development of current pharmacists as well. And so in my part-time role at the Happy PharmD, I love coaching pharmacists, helping them think about their new path or even a new business venture that they're considering. This, the success of others has always been something that I've gravitated towards. So I had never also, Christina, heard of a role like this before. There are a few colleges across the country that have similar positions, but how I like to explain it is basically we're student affairs plus. So we have student development and professional development as our primary focus, but then we also have areas of our office that focus on recruitment and admissions, alumni relations, and also postgraduate training and teaching and learning certificate programs. So kind of that student life from before they even get to us through their alumni life and some new practitioner development in there as well.
What was the why? Why were we, invested in making sure that we showed up, right? Like so many of the times I ask, you know, student pharmacists why they wanted to go into pharmacy. And oftentimes I hear the same message, which is, I want to help people, mm-hmm. right? Or I wanted to do good, or I wanted to impact my community, or I had a family member who had challenges with medications and I ended up being their liaison or their translator. There's so many different reasons. And I think a lot of times we lose that why when we're going through. And so I love the thought process of the success and thinking about the future success and the future impact as being the goal and not just part of the journey, right? Because I think oftentimes we lose that. We lose that vision because we're so, you know, focused on just trying to get through the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me personally, when I transitioned from like direct patient care fully into the academic role, I realized that my own impact could be much greater by influencing, you know, the minds and hearts of so many students who were go on to practice and be able to see so many more patients than I could ever see myself. I'm sure, you know, in your role in public health, you know, you have a huge impact on millions and millions of patients who you may not ever individually touch per se, but you have that influence over them. And so thinking about how to make as big of an impact as possible on the profession, I also saw that as an awesome opportunity. And to your point, you know, students and, you know, us as faculty, sometimes we get stuck in the weeds of like, yes, must check the box. Yes, must do the thing. But remembering our why of why we're developing our students and for them discovering what their why is and what area of pharmacy they're going to thrive in is really, I think, the most exciting part of our work.
Absolutely. So, I mean, for me, obviously, you know, public health is something I think that was sort of this, like, you know, not talked about part of the profession, even though, you know, public health pharmacy and pharmacists working in public health capacities, especially with the, you know, the public health services corps, people working for the CDC, the FDA, the DEA. I mean, there's so much within the federal system, even Indian Health Services. And, you know, I think that was sort of the traditional way of thinking about public health. But then, you know, as we've seen, you know, really within our professional lifetime, we've seen two pandemics, right? We saw H1N1. And then, you know, before that, it was sort of a weird thing to think of going to a pharmacy for a vaccination. Now, fast forward to right now, 80% of all people receive a vaccination at a pharmacy or by a pharmacist or pharmacy staff, including pharmacy technicians now, right? Because we've been able to expand that scope of practice. And I think we're really at this interesting touch point within the profession where we can either leapfrog forward or we can potentially be set back. And part of that is standing up and speaking up about ways that, you know, if it's okay for COVID, why isn't it okay for everything else? Right. So like utilizing the momentum that we've gotten from the expansion of the PrEP Act and being able to have all of these new expanded scope of practice. But how do we reconfigure that into this is not just in the face of a public health emergency, but really this is something that should be going on all the time because we see that the healthcare system has so many challenges that is not going to be fixed even by putting more emphasis on medical education, because those future physicians are not going to be practicing for at least another 10 years. So why don't you invest in the workforce that you already have and nurture and foster them in order to fill the gaps that we've seen that have been so blaringly uncovered by, you know, the health disparities and the social vulnerability that the pandemic has shown us?
Oh, the untapped potential of the profession of pharmacy. My goodness. Thankfully, I had an opportunity recently, and I love being a part of advocacy efforts, but last week I was actually on Capitol Hill talking to legislators about the role of the pharmacist, how we can help bridge so many gaps in primary care, in the shortages of other healthcare professionals, and really that Medicare beneficiaries are missing out in most states where provider status is not recognized. And in my faculty role, I try to show students that advocacy can be very easy and very non-intimidating by just sharing your story, talking about what you do as a student pharmacist, talking about as a pharmacist, what you do, what you've been able to impact patients by just your presence and your knowledge base. There's so much that pharmacists can do if only we had the tools and the support of the healthcare system to do so. So I was just vigorously nodding over here while you were speaking about that, because I truly believe that our profession is the most untapped potential profession existing in the United States right now. So I hope we have some legislators listening. I hope we have some change makers who are tuning in to hear that we're ready. You know, we're ready to play. Just put us in, coach. You know, we've got so much to be able to contribute to the healthcare team that just isn't being accessed right now. And, you know, thinking of public health, how can we bridge the gaps in rural and underserved areas where there just aren't enough healthcare professionals to provide the care that patients really need? The patients who probably need it the most are not able to access that care right now. So we're ready, you know, we're trained, we're all ready to go. It's just providing the infrastructure and the reimbursement to be able to set up these services in a sustainable way.
Yes, because ultimately we do not work for free.
Right.
We can't. Like, we can sustain these programs, but we have to be compensated for our services. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's why public health could be that vehicle in order to, again, leapfrog the profession forward, because we've already established that we are a critical resource during a crisis. So, you know, like you said, put us in, coach, like it doesn't have to be during a crisis. It could be literally all the time. And, you know, I think about just, you know, simple things like, you know, somebody not being able to get into their primary. If it's a known diagnosis and it's medication intensive, pharmacists should be doing it. Like 100%, we should be managing that care. And I think about population health and you know, everything related around communicable disease management, it's very medication intensive and has a known diagnosis, because obviously we're doing diagnostic testing to, you know, do contact investigations and managing outbreaks. And it's like, this is something that I think easily pharmacists could have such a prominent role in. And obviously, when I think about leadership capacity, I definitely think that we need to have more examples of women in leadership roles, because I always say, if you can see it, you can be it. And if you can't see it, then the aspiration of wanting to aspire to be something else within, you know, within that leadership structure isn't there. Right. Mm-hmm. And I even think about that, and I say that about myself, you know, because, you know, as I was doing more, you know, media and being out there and, you know, doing expert commentary, I did not see that many people that mm-hmm. looked like me, first and foremost, in media. And then secondly, I didn't see any pharmacists, or very few. And if I did, I saw them basically speaking on behalf of their hospital system, or speaking on behalf of their managed care organization or their pharmacy, and not really speaking on behalf of their expertise and the fact that they are so knowledgeable.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, representation matters in so many different ways. You know, for me, thinking about, or thinking back to, you know, my daughters and kind of the legacy I want to leave, and putting a small mark in the world of moving towards better gender equity across the world. I mean, it is kind of depressing to look at the gaps that exist, not only in pay, but in opportunities and access to basic resources across the world. There are disparities between genders, and, you know, not all of it is about, you know, women and everything. It's really representation and equal opportunity for everyone. And so if we look around pharmacy, you know, we all know that our profession is primarily made up of individuals who identify as female. However, this is not reflected in the leadership of our profession. And so if we can move the needle on that, if we can make some change, I like to think about, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG herself, saying things like, women belong in all places where decisions are being made. And I truly believe that is absolutely true. If we're not in the conversations, if we're not being a part of the changes in our profession, then we're truly not representing those that we're serving throughout our profession. So people like you, Dr. Madison, other women who are leading across the profession, we are the examples for others who can see us and say, oh, that could be me too. And I look to my role models and think the same exact thing. You know, I learn from them. I ask them tons of questions. I have a board of mentors that I reach out to when I'm faced with any difficult decision or need some guidance on a career thought that I'm having. And I think that there's just something to be said about those mentoring relationships and sponsoring relationships that we can have with each other to help lift all ships, if you want to think of it that way.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you say that, because, you know, I was just reading an article in a tech blog about how we as a working public do not do as much as we should around mentorship and fostering of the next generation of leadership. And that really, when we think about, you know, as we grow, that literally you should have mentorship every step of the way. So it's not just when you're in school or when you're in residency or when you're a new practitioner or when you're in academia or wherever you decide to practice. It really is that you should have that continued mentorship throughout the span of your professional career, and that you also make mentoring a priority and a priority for the next generation coming up. And so for me personally, I am all about, mentorship and also seeking out other mentors, because I know I don't have all the answers and I definitely don't proclaim to do so. And I know that there's been, pivotal times in my career where I was, trying to figure out what the next step was. And I feel like if I didn't have that mentorship and I didn't have that person that I could go to bounce off ideas, I think it would have been a lot more challenging. And I don't know if I would have made the same decision.
Yeah. And I think to your point about, mentoring as a professional responsibility, there's actually even organizational literature that talks about the fact that leaders who mentor others are more effective leaders. And some organizations are even evaluating leaders on their mentoring performance as a way to emphasize that point, and also leads to better organizational outcomes. So I think there's many benefits to mentoring. If it's not something that you just naturally do, it's something that you can learn how to do and also incorporate into your work life to not only be a better leader, but your organization will benefit tremendously as well.
Not to mention the fact that when we have female leaders, there's also a lot of, there's a lot of data actually around the pandemic that when there were female leaders that were in charge, that they actually were able to be more nimble and more flexible and were able to respond better during the pandemic. So
yes, women power for sure.
Not again, not to say that it's only about us, because again, I definitely want to affirm our male allies and those who identify as male that help us along the way. Because again, a lot of times it's that male ally that is advocating for us when we're not in the room that helps us to get to that next level.
Yes, absolutely.
So definitely want to give snaps for our male allies. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For helping us. So, this has been such an incredible conversation, and thank you so much for the work that you're doing around just helping and fostering that continual professional development and growth within your organization, but then, the reach that you're impacting further as being an advocate, talking about legislative change. This is something I talk about all the time. I'm like, if it's not written down in the law, it's not getting changed. I personally was, involved with some Senate hearings here around the new legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act, and how that's going to impact our seniors and drug prescription prices and insulin and all, showing up is half the battle, right? But like, you got to raise your hand. And so I applaud you for, making sure that there are more people raising their hand and that you're being that model for the next generation. And so if people want to find you, if people want to follow you, see what you're up to, where can they find you?
Well, thanks. Thanks again, Dr. Madison, for having me today. I had an awesome time talking with you as well. I feel like we could talk for hours, but people can find me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Jackie Boyle RX. I'd love to engage or talk with you about these topics further if you're interested. I tend to talk a lot though, so warning, we might talk for a while if you're interested, but thank you again for having me today.
Absolutely. Well, just wanted to remind the audience, if you want to hear more of these fantastic conversations, please continue to follow Pharmacy Times and our Pharmacy Focus podcast series. Again, I am your host, Dr. Christina Madison. You can find me at your favorite social media du jour at The Public Health Pharmacist. And remember, public health matters.
Stay safe, be well, and reminder, public health matters.